Good evening, all. Oh, okay. My name is also Daryl, so that's quite nice, yeah. You can call me Daz, that's fine. I'm going to pray for us as we get into God's Word. Let's pray. Father God, we give you great praise and thanks that you have given us your life-giving, life-changing Word. Word that reveals your plans and purpose in this world, in your will and desire for us to know you and love you. And so, Father, I ask that you would soften our hearts, that you would give us ears to hear, and that we would receive your word by faith and be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Imagine this scene. A little boy bursts into the kitchen just before dinner. His mom is standing over a big pot of spaghetti, ladle in hand, and she doesn't even need to turn around. She can hear her son's footsteps come closer to her. She can feel his eyes gazing into the big pot of spaghetti. She knows exactly what's coming. He's about to ask her what's for dinner. And so the boy asks, "Mom, what's for dinner?" With a smile and endearing look, Mum replies, "Your favourite, spaghetti." Now here's the thing, right? Even though the mum knew what her son will ask, she's still delighted to hear from him. She's still delighted to answer him. And that's a bit like prayer, isn't it? God already knows what's on our heart. He knows what we need before we say a word. And yet he still delights to hear from us. And so tonight we're going to ask and answer this question. The question is, why should I pray if God already knows everything? That's a good question, right? If God is sovereign, if God is omniscient, if he's all-knowing, and so possesses infinite and complete knowledge of all things, past, present, and future, surely prayer just seems unnecessary, superfluous, pointless. Well, the answer to that question is simple. We pray because it's not about getting something. It's about knowing someone and delighting in him. Let me say that again. We pray because it's not about getting something, but it's about knowing someone and delighting in him, namely God. And that's the answer to our question. Okay, I'm done. All right, I'll unpack it a little bit more. All right. Now, to unpack this, I've got a five-sided shape, for those who love maths. Any maths lovers? I know, Josh, where are you? A pentahedron, is that right? Yeah, okay, he says all right. Yeah, okay. And this thing here, it exists, right? It's kind of like a Rubik's Cube, but five-sided. And each side, as you can see there, looks flat and simple. But when you mix it all up, right, it becomes this colourful tapestry which you can then unscramble back to its original state and therefore appreciate each of those five colours in their fullness. And tonight, in one sense, we're going to look at the pentahedron of prayer. Yes, the five dot points of the sermon. And we're going to see, though, through this, how comforting and emboldening, if I can say that, it is to pray to an all-knowing God. And so our first point is this, that the heart of prayer is about knowing God. And because of this, prayer is not optional. Have a listen to what God says. In Romans 12, we read, "Be persistent in prayer. In everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request. Devote yourselves to prayer. Pray constantly. Pray always and not become discouraged." If we think about tonight's passage in Matthew 6, where Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, notice those three repeated phrases that Jesus says. He says, "And when you pray." Verse 6, "But when you pray." Verse 7, "And when you pray." Notice Jesus doesn't say, look, if you're thinking about maybe praying, or if you want to pray as though it's an opt-in thing to the Christian walk. No, there's an assumption, right, that the Christian life is a praying life. It's a prayer-filled life because it's built on, it's founded on, not box-ticking, not works, but it's founded on a relationship. And so the primary point of prayer is not to get something, but to know someone, namely God. God in his full revelation as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So consider the words of Jesus in verse 6. He says, "But when you pray, go into your private room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Question for you, what do you think is the reward that our Heavenly Father will give us? Possessions, good looks, sporting ability. Well, if we understand Scripture correctly in its entirety, we would know, right, that the greatest reward is deeper intimacy with God. See how the call to pray is actually for our benefit. It's to help us know God. And we see this in the very life of Jesus, right, himself. In the Gospel, there's at least 33 references that I found where Jesus, he's praying to his Father. Some of them are just personal prayer where he goes off and just prays specifically. There's some of those prayers where he prays for the benefit of others. There's moments when he prays privately. There's moments when he prays with others around. Point is, Jesus prayed frequently to his all-knowing Father. Surely this alone teaches us that the heart of prayer is about knowing God. It's about a relationship. Prayer is for our sake. And so when we hear these commands to pray, they're not heartless commands. No, they're heart-filled commands. God is like a parent saying, "Tell me, you know, talk to me what's going on. I want to hear it. I want to know. I want you to verbalize what's going on in your life, how I can help," right? Prayer helps us know God. And so pray. Pray behind closed doors. Pray when you're in the car. Pray on the way to school. Pray while cooking. Pray when taking your dog for a walk. Pray with others. Pray. This leads us to our second point. Prayer deepens our relationship with God. I'm still at the point in my parenting where my kids still think that Liz and I are all-knowing. And without hesitation, right, that they've got a question or a need, they would ask or even shout from another room. They'll say, "Mom, Dad," right, and it'll be followed by some request or some question which they've got. But what's so precious about this is that they are reaching out to me. And I want that. I love that. I desire my children's voice and presence. And whether it's those deep, meaningful chats or a laugh around the dinner table or a passing one-liner in our corridor, my kids talking to me helps deepen their relationship with me. Pretty sure that'll be true for all of us, right? You talking to your father or your mother actually deepens your relationship with them. And so when my kids call out from the trampoline and say they need help, or when they ask for good things, could be simple things like a hug or hot chocolate before bed or a $1 Slurpee from 7-Eleven, I'm sure we've all been there, right? It's all about them deepening their relationship with me or with Lisa. Similarly, but more profoundly, prayer deepens our relationship with God. Now, have a listen to these verses. "The eyes of the Lord on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. The Lord is near to all who call out to him, all who call out to him with integrity. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry for help and saves them." And Jesus says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Our Heavenly Father is listening. He wants us to cry out. He wants us to call out. He wants us to ask him for good things. And so consider again Matthew 6, when Jesus says, "For your Father knows what you need before you ask him." See, we ought to read this verse as our Heavenly Father, who, yes, he already knows what we need, but it's actually what the heart of it communicates is that he loves to hear your voice. Just as a father delights to hear from his children. And so us asking God is for our benefit. It helps deepen our relationship and connection with him. And so the encouragement is for us to cry out, call out, ask God, don't hold back. You know, my kids, they don't hold back from their prayers and all from their petitions and their requests of Liz and I. I'm sure there's many moments, right, where you don't hold back from your petitions and requests from mum and dad. Why would it be any different with God, right? Just as we so easily voice our concerns or wants and desires to our parents, more so may we do that with God, who knows us and loves us. You know, the more time you spend in a friendship or relationship with someone, the more they can shape us, right? You might start picking up their habits, phrases, even their sense of humor. More recently, my wife, Alyssa, has pointed out that there's a whole bunch of mannerisms that I do that are like my dad. I'll say something and she would be like, "You sound just like your dad," right? Or I'll do something and she's like, "Oh, that's such a thing your dad would do." I wonder if you've experienced that at all. Point is, right, because of my relationship with my dad, some of his mannerisms have rubbed off on me, you know, better or worse. Well, prayer does that with God, right? Well, one of the outworkings of us deepening our relationship with God through his word and prayer is that God will rub off on us, so to speak. This brings us to the third point, that prayer changes us. You see, through prayer, our heart's desire and will can be shaped to be more aligned with God's will. Prayer is not about bending God to our will, but it's about us being conformed to his will. And this is a good thing, right? Because God's ways are best. Think about when Jesus prayed, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the cross. What did he pray to his Father? Have a look. Jesus said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus ultimately wanted to be in step with his Father's will. That's right. It's quite a good time, wasn't it? Could have jing. That's right. And he wants us too. No, didn't get that time. Okay, yeah. Have a look at Matthew 6, right? Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray." He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." What does Jesus say next? "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Prayer, talking to our Heavenly Father, ought to change our heart's desires so that we would be more concerned with the things of God, that we would say in our prayer to God, "Yes, God, your will be done." And so for us to pray God's will to be done here on earth, that his eternal decrees and purpose will come to pass, that also includes that God's will be done in our lives. That just as Jesus prayed, we too would pray, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." And so talking to God helps change us. It aligns our will with God's will. And this truth ought to help us lean into prayer. To say to our Heavenly Father, "Look, Father God, I know that you know what I'm going to say. I know that you know this thing about me. I know that you know that I need this heart work in me. And so, Father, your will be done. Work in me. Change me by the work of your Holy Spirit. Not my will, but your will be done." Friends, are we praying this in our life? If we know the goodness of our Father and his ways, surely we would hear what Jesus says and we would say, "Yes, Father God, your will be done in my life." May we be captivated by God's goodness his grace, and then ask him to work and will in our life for our good, his glory. And so when we realize that prayer changes us through the work of God's Spirit, it shouldn't surprise us, right, that God uses prayer to change circumstances. See, prayer isn't just an internal therapy session. It's a means in which God uses in his providence. God chooses to work through prayers of his people. Prayer becomes a real instrument in his providence, not an empty exercise. Simply put, prayer is a means that God uses. And throughout Scripture, right, we see God's people pray and God answering those prayers. Think of Moses. Moses pleading with God to share his spare his wrath from the Israelites for their committing adultery with a golden calf. What was the outcome? Well, God relented and had mercy on his people. God used the prayer of Moses or Elijah. You know, when God asked Elijah to not send rain and then send rain, God sent a great rain. God used the prayers of Elijah. And so James tells us, using the story of Elijah, that the urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. From Scripture, we learn is that when we pray, when we're asking God to work and act in this world, in our lives, he will answer these prayers. He, in fact, will work in our lives. That prayer makes a difference. Prayer is effective, it's useful, it works. God really does hear our prayers through Jesus Christ, our mediator. Our prayers are one of the ways that God works and wills in this world. Incredible. One of the ways that God works and wills in this world is through your prayers, is through you talking to God. Isn't that amazing? Incredible. Here's a quote that I feel like captures this ever so beautifully. It's from a book. And the author says this: God has woven prayer into the fabric of his providence so that our asking is part of his giving. I love this. Our prayers matter. Your prayers matter. Through prayer, God is granting us the dignity of joining in with him in being part of his mission and glorification. In fact, in Matthew 6, Jesus makes the point that because of this reality, we don't need to babble away to evoke the listening ear of God. But what does Jesus say in Matthew 6, 7? He says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him." In other words, when we pray, we can get straight to the point. We don't need to, you know, massage God's ego and say, "God, you're amazing, you've done all these things." And you can get straight to the point with God in prayer, right? Because you always have God's listening ear. You see, God is so invested in you, so intimately concerned about you, that he even knows what you need before you ask. What a father. Let me ask you, how many times have you maybe felt misunderstood or unseen or alone? And maybe you've thought, if only people knew, if only that person knew, if only they knew my story, if only they knew my needs, right? I'm sure we've all felt that. Guess what? You have an eternal Father who knows what you need before you ask him. Rest in this incredible reality. These are words of comfort and assurance, are they not? And so through prayer, we come to experience for ourselves that God really does provide all that we need. He helps us in our troubles and pain. He provides for us in our needs. He works the many hardships in our life for our good and his glory. And when we start to see God answer our prayers, which he does more than we probably realize and see, you know what it does? It strengthens our faith, right? And makes us more dependent on him. It's our final point tonight. Prayer strengthens our faith and dependence on God. Have a listen to these words. Jesus says, "The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me." Paul says in Philippians, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, one could argue that prayer is the chief exercise of faith, that it expresses our total dependence on God. It reminds us that apart from God, we can do nothing. God is the one that sustains our very life, that gives us each heartbeat right now. We need him. And so as Jesus taught us to pray, we're to ask God. To ask God in verse 11 to give us today our daily bread. To forgive us our debtors, as we also have forgiven our debtors. To lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Isn't that amazing? The Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us that we are to ask God for things. For his kingdom to come. His will to be done. That he will provide for our daily needs. That he would forgive us our sins, that he would keep us from temptation, that we'll be delivered from evil. We are to ask our all-knowing God to work in our lives. What an incredible invitation. And as we speak and ask and connect with our Heavenly Father, as we see him work in our lives, we actually realize, right, that prayer isn't pointless. Prayer matters. And I would argue that prayer strengthens and deepens our trust in God. And as prayer deepens and strengthens our trust in God, it moves our affections and our love for God more fully as our Father. Our Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. That's who he is. And you are loved by him. That's who you are. And so as I come to a close on the pentahedron of prayer, let me take you back to our question. Why should I pray if God already knows everything? Do you see this question in a different light? Why should I pray? Well, because God knows everything, right? Prayer is about you and I knowing God. And so may we want to deepen our relationship with God. You know, I want to change and I want to walk in step with his will. I'm emboldened to pray because prayer is a means in which God uses to achieve his purposes in this world, his purposes in my life. Praying to an all-knowing God strengthens my faith, deepens my dependence on him. Our Heavenly Father who knows everything, who knows you intimately, wants you to know him, delight in him, trust in him. And so may we be people who pray. Let's do that right now, shall we? Let's pray. Father, how incredible it is that we can talk to you. You discern our thoughts from afar. You know what we will say before we speak them. And yet as our good Father, you delight to hear from us. You want us to ask you of things. Because your listening ear is always there. And so Father, help us increase our posture of prayerfulness, deepen our relationship with you as we spend time with you, Father, and in your word. May you align our lives in accordance with your will. Deepen our trust and dependence on you, Father. May we see that you are the giver of good gifts, that you are a God who answers our prayers, that you work through our prayers. Incredible. Father, we thank you for the preciousness in which we can fellowship with you. all made possible because of your Son, who died and rose and reigns on high. And it's through him we pray.